Welcome to Love with Integrity. My name is Sylvie Kukasian, and this podcast is all about relationships, how to hold healthy, loving boundaries, but also how to express yourself in a way that doesn't push your partner away. So join me for a wonderful conversation about mental health, relationships, and self-discovery. Welcome to episode 9 of the Love with Integrity podcast. Today, I recorded a short episode about the different behaviors or even pattern roles that we might take on during conflict moments. This is something that I witness in my own relationship as well as in the dynamic of all the couples that I have worked with throughout the years. And so being able to understand how we show up during conflict, being able to observe ourselves objectively is so key because it helps us to have more choice. It allows us to bring forward things that we're doing unconsciously and to be able to work with them much more consciously. So for today, I want to identify 3 different kinds of unhealthy behaviors for you guys. And these are behaviors that we all engage in when we become overly triggered or overwhelmed. You might have heard the terms fight, flight, or freeze. Those are some terms that you can identify with when it comes to your flavor of defense. I personally like to call them, are we being harsh or aggressive, which you can correlate that to the fight? Are we being passive, which is correlated with more of the freeze? Or are we being defensive, which can sometimes be the flight? You know, I don't want to deal with this. I'm innocent in all of this. And so some examples of the more harsh behaviors that we might take on are ways that we are being critical of our partner, name calling, or even speaking with a really frightening or scary tone, having a loud body language, or, you know, getting really close to our partner in ways that might feel really intimidating or uncomfortable for them. Some examples of defensive behaviors could be turning the focus on yourself or acting, like I said initially, that you're completely innocent in everything. And that's a way where we are no longer being with what it is that our partner is bringing up, and we're making it more about ourselves. Some examples of passive behaviors are if we shut down or if we disengage with our partner during a fight. I often work with couples where, one partner is taking on more of that harsh or aggressive fighter role, while the other partner takes on more of that passive or defensive role. And of course, depending on who we're in a relationship with, just like everything, that will affect the role or the kind of defense that we will participate in. If we're in a relationship with someone who's really critical or intense and very blaming in the way that they approach us, then yeah, we might more likely go into the more passive or defensive role. Or if you're with somebody that tends to be more passive, you might get really annoyed or frustrated and aggravated and end up being more harsh than you've ever seen yourself being in the past. So there's a lot of fluidity around that based on who we are with and who we've chosen to be with in this particular relationship, or even a friendship if you're not in a relationship. And sometimes there's also, you know, there's cases where you have 2 fighters or 2 runners, you know, 2 defensive people and 2 fighters. However, I don't see that as often. I often see more one aggressive or harsh role and one passive role. And so these dynamics, you know, being able to tease apart and recognize which role we tend to go into is so, so key. And what I notice is that the person in that more passive role tends to go under the radar a lot. And I'm often sitting in a couple session, and on the surface, the more assertive and angry partner is usually the target in the session, whereas the person that's more passive and, you know, maybe thinking things like, hey, I didn't actually do anything wrong, or I didn't even say anything. I was just trying to let you express yourself. And while all of those things are good intended things, it's still a vacant role. And what do I mean by that? Well, it means that we're not actually showing up. We're not engaging in this dynamic. We're not engaging during the argument or the fight. And ironically, the more passive we become, the more aggravated our partner will feel. Now, I just want you to take a moment and just sit with that. If you've been in this situation, and if you've been the person that has been more passive, or if you tend to be the person that is more aggressive or harsh during conflict. Today, I'm going to focus on the more passive role. Because it goes so much under the radar, I really wanted to speak to it. And why does this happen? Why does somebody take on a more passive role? You know, if we go far back enough, we will likely see somebody that, whether they had a parent that was very emotionally overwhelming or critical, or they didn't really make space for them to have their own experience, or they were shamed for their experience. So as soon as emotional intensity starts to happen, they shut down. They become overwhelmed. They become emotionally flooded. And so in that case, it's absolutely appropriate and necessary to take a time out. That's okay. You know, I don't expect anybody to be able to engage when they're in that overwhelm. It's not even possible. You know, add trauma or anxiety to the equation, or an enormous amount of shame, and it just becomes even more challenging to engage. So take that time out, whether it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, you know. And also, if we are more avoidantly attached, we will tend to go inward, because people that are avoidantly attached auto-regulate, which is a way that we've developed to calm ourselves down, which is wonderful. It's great that we're able to calm ourselves down and go internal and auto-regulate. But the only challenge with that is it creates a massive disconnect and feelings of abandonment for our partner. So that's what we're experiencing when we see that passivity in the conflict moment. There's so many things happening behind the scenes that we're not aware of. So I wanted to give some language to those things. And, you know, being somebody that is good at auto-regulating is a self-focused role. You know, it's great for the self, but it's not actually showing up for the relationship. It's a role that is focused only on taking care of ourselves. And healthy conflict requires engagement from both partners. It requires both partners to intervene and ask for what they need in order to tolerate being able to stay in the room. Healthy conflict requires boundaries. It requires us to speak up and offer feedback so that our partner knows to potentially maybe they need to do some things differently in order for us to stay present, to be able to stay in the room. So here are some practical language tools that you can use if you tend to be the more passive partner. Again, because sometimes we just don't have the language for these things, right? We might know them intellectually, but we still don't know, okay, what do I need to do? So here are some practical things that you might be able to say. And just again, see which one lands for you. Maybe it inspires something completely different. That's what I want to encourage you to take on. But I hope this gets your brain and some ideas started and sparked for you. I really need you to bring your tone down so that I can stay present for this. I need you to say that differently. Please don't criticize me. Please just let me know you care about me or that you love me. I know I messed up, but I just need to hear that before I can really, you know, engage here. I'm super sensitive to being shamed. Help me understand what's going on for you in all of this. You know, being able to even speak a few words to help redirect our partner when they're in a super triggered state can change so much. And so what do we do if we find ourselves heavily leaning in this role? What do we do when we take on, you know, what Terry Real calls the latent, the more passive role, which is such a beautiful way of identifying with these, the more aggressive role he identifies that as the blatant role, and the more passive is the latent. And so that is the first step. And what I find to be most helpful is to really be able to just own this about ourselves without beating ourselves up. If you've been following my work for a while, this is huge. It's that self-observation without shaming ourselves for not knowing what was in our unconscious or not being aware of how we've been showing up. It's like your partner, if they're taking on a more harsh or aggressive role, it's going to intensify your desire to retreat or run away. And the next step will be practicing a more assertive role for you. It's engaging more directly when conflict comes up. It's learning to set those boundaries so you can stay in the room without shutting down. And to be more present to yourself as you start to get close to shutting down. If your partner is overwhelming you or coming at you really intensely, you stop them more quickly. You don't wait so long. Hey, I need you to slow down. Let's take a break. I don't know what's going on here, but this is moving really fast. I don't want to go away. Let's just slow down. So being able to initiate those moments of pause and making requests for what you need is huge. Again, this doesn't mean that you can't ask for a break or a time out. You should, if you're becoming too flooded, ask for that break clearly. But then what tends to happen for the more passive role is they wait for their partner to initiate the repair. You know, how many of you experienced that? And the key is for you to now initiate that repair first, is to not wait for your partner to take the lead. It's for you to take the lead and make the request for what you need from that conversation and from future conversations in order to stay more present. And also just being an advocate for yourself and to know that you deserve and have the right for your perspective to be heard and that you have the right to have needs in the middle of conflict. You're not just supposed to take whatever is given to you. You can make requests and ask for adjustments in order to have a healthy conflict experience with your partner. So I hope that is helpful. I hope that clarifies that role a little bit. And I want to end this episode with a quote from one of my favorite, I should say my absolute favorite psychotherapist, which is Esther Perel, of course. And the quote is, "If you want to change your partner, change yourself." And what I love so much about this quote is we all know by now we cannot change our partner. And when we begin to change small little things about ourselves in the way we show up, in the way we take observations of our own behavior, when we change our routine dance steps, it allows for a new possibility to emerge. It also allows your partner to see you responding differently, which has a huge impact on how they then show up. If they're used to you being passive and now seeing you become more assertive, well, their approach is going to have to change. It just won't fit. The dance steps won't work. And so that's what I really invite you to practice this week is simply pay attention to your dance steps. What are the types of defenses that you routinely move towards? And what are some small things that you can do differently, particularly if you tend to go into that more passive role, to show up more empowered, to show up with more boundaries, to show up with really, you know, taking a stand, not just for yourself, but for your relationship. I'm sending you guys all so much love. If you need more support with practical communication and understanding your defenses, make sure to check out my online program. It's the Practical Communication one. I will put the link in the bottom of this in the show notes. It's a $27 program and it talks about 4 different kinds of defenses that we all have, and it can be super helpful to help you learn how to navigate those things differently.